We call you affectionately our freeloaders, and so it goes. But we don't mean anything by that. Just the fact that I'm going to turn it on now, man. Sorry. Hi. Videocast is on. Videocast is on. Hello. I forgot to turn the motherfucking videocast on, so the pre-show begins now. Anyway, we will talk to you guys later. All right. Videocast is rolling right now, and I'm looking at Harry Connick. When did he start on the...
Harry Connick's been on the American Idol?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been on for quite some time.
I'm not familiar with it.
No, I don't watch it either.
Well, I do, and Harry Connick is on it.
All right, Margaret, nobody is criticizing you for watching it.
Well, there's the smart-ass attitude is what I object to. The smart-ass attitude is what I object to more than anything else.
All right. Huge injury affects number 6 Ohio State.
Really?
I watched... anybody watch the Notre Dame SC game? I don't know. Those of you who are here in L.A., I turned the fucker off at halftime. I was feeling sorry for Notre Dame, which is an unusual thing. And being Catholic, being raised Catholic, it is expected that you are a Notre Dame fan. I'm not shitting you. There's a lot of kids that from here, where I grew up here in Southern California, everywhere, all over the country, went to Notre Dame. There are guys that I went to school with, went to Notre Dame. There's people, you grew up in Miami and you're Catholic, went to Notre Dame. New York, you know, same thing. So so it went. And a lot of people from here travel to Notre Dame to support Notre Dame. And there's a lot of people from here that travel to Notre Dame to support SC. The game was here, and it's generally a huge game. It depends on what's happening in the... it depends on what's happening in the country in terms of the college football standings, whether or not the or college football rankings, whether or not the SC Notre Dame game is a big game, or whether the fucking UCLA SC game is a big game. But those are the two big games of the year if you're an SC fan, which I've traditionally been. Why was I? Oh, I was traditionally an SC fan because they were the better football team, and it's never really. I'm trying to figure out why I was an SC fan because I didn't go to school there, and, you know, Nick, my eldest stepson, went there, but I was an SC fan long before that. So anyway, make a long story short, I was an SC fan, and they beat the shit out of Notre Dame, man. It was ugly. What was it, 55 or something? Notre Dame, it was ugly. Then another monumental moment in the history of my personal sports fannery. I was an Oakland Raider fan until they moved to L.A., and then I stopped being an Oakland Raider fan because they weren't the Oakland Raiders anymore. They were the L.A. Raiders, and they took on a decidedly distasteful and, I think, Hollywood trying to be badass sort of flavor, and I just didn't like him anymore. And Al Davis began to strut a little bit. Al Davis began to take his shit seriously, you know what I mean? When the Raiders were in Oakland... And we're just a swashbuckling lot, as they used to say. And they had the Jack Tatums and the George Atkinsons, and they were a scary and marvelously villainous group. Something that the National Football League had never seen before. They were fun to follow, and I was a big fan, unless they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and then I was a Chiefs fan. I was always, when I came to the Raiders and the Chiefs, I was a Chiefs fan because I was a Len Dawson fan. That's just, you know, that's just how I rolled back there in the days when I was a dirty little greasy punk fucking kid. Now, where these things sit is the following place. I'm looking at... 35-7. What, am I looking at a replay of this, bud?
Yeah, it's just a replay of the Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. Shit, I was wondering. I thought these were highlights. It's a replay. So now where I stand with a lot of bullshit is the following thing. What the fuck? So, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, the wheels are turning. The reason why I'm doing the wheels are turning. I had a discussion this weekend with Lauren, and I was talking to her about the show, the one man show, and I was discussing with her the need for a little more freedom on that show. And this is why you have a backstage pass, by the way. This right here is why you have a backstage pass. Because I was talking about Julia Sweeney's God Said Ha, which is one of my favorite one-person shows. And Julia Sweeney is very funny in this show, as she talks about getting cancer, as she talks about her brother getting cancer, as she talks about, I mean, believe me, I'm telling you, it's funny. Even though, yes, it's filled with great pathos and great feeling and great everything, but she so deftly handles this material, and it's her own life story about how she got cancer, then her brother did, and then her brother died. I mean, I'm telling you, and her family came down from, I believe she's from the Northwest, if I'm not mistaken, and her mother and her father came down, and the family, you know, pulled together and during this horrible time. And yet, there she is telling this story with marvelous humor, you know. And she was going in and out of character. You know, her mother, I guess the one character that Julia Sweeney does in this show that I recall is her mother. And she just goes into character occasionally. So anyway, we were talking, and she said to me, well, why don't you, instead of relying on these set pieces, beginning and end, relying on just being in character, and then being in character, then being in character, why can't you, you know, do the show with Phil telling the story, with Phil ever present? Comes out as Phil, the middle is Phil, the end is Phil, and in the middle of it all is, well, if you will, Phil, you know, as in F-I-L-L. So I will Phil as Phil. And when there isn't Phil doing Phil, there's Phil doing character and the like. So if I were doing it on stage right now, I would be saying, for instance, I was a Ram fan, I was a USC fan because they were good, you know, and I would go out to the games. I had a friend of mine. His name was Larry DeSano. And, you know, he'd want to take me out to the games. So I'd say, you want to go to the games or anything? And I'd say, yeah. Actually, Larry was very Italian. He wasn't even very Italian. He was a kid from Southern California of Italian descent. So California Italians are basically just like every other surfer you meet. You know, there's no California Italian sound. You know, like in New York, there's the New York Italian and all the influence of the New York. In California, the Italian influence, Bank of America. All right. That's it. You know, that's two Italian brothers. You know, fuck the pizza, man. Put up the bank. And let me tell you what I want to do, you know. So I would go into the story, you know. I can't do a, what do you want from me? You know, I can't do can't do Italian accent. But anyway, the guy was Italian. He was an Italian-American kid. Larry DeSano. And so his brother went to USC, and then eventually, I think Larry did too, but we would go to these games. Took me to a couple of games. It was fantastic. Had a blast. And then my dad and I and my kid sister started going to the games, and we had fun. So I became a USC fan. That's why I root for them. All right, rather than try to explain to you what it is I'm trying to do with my goddamn show, because I don't have time to do it right now. I have to look at the show prep material. A couple of things happening. One of them is that a Hill staffer, Elizabeth Loughton, has resigned because of some goddamn post on Facebook criticizing, in a way that, you know, was probably not very kind, the two daughters of the president. And she resigned, and she was fired, actually. I saw her Twitter account, and she was being just eviscerated. She was being destroyed by people. Apparently, she left the Twitter account as of the 28th. Her comments appeared on Facebook on the 27th. By Saturday, they'd gone viral, and she was still tweeting on Saturday. Her last tweet on Saturday had something to do with... She was pissed off that GoDaddy had fucked up a website or something of hers, I think. We doing this, man? Yeah, one through. She was pissed off that GoDaddy had jacked up one of her websites. She's the media director, I guess, for this guy, this Representative Fincher. And then that was it. There's a whole, you know, bunch of tweets. And I didn't know what anybody was talking about. I was looking at some people that I follow, and they were just going apeshit. But here's what the essence of what she said was, try to dress more. But a lot of people were talking about how bored they looked during the turkey pardon. Hey, you know, they're teenage girls. They're going to look bored. But it didn't stop there with this one individual. She decided to say, you know, dress more appropriately. Dress like you're members of the first family and not like you've got a spot at a bar. Now, that's basically saying you look slutty or you look like a couple of whores or you look like a couple of broads that are out, you know, trying to pick up guys. And of course, there's going to be people going to try to defend her, I suppose. I don't think anybody with any brains is going to, anybody in the Republican Party that's got a fucking functioning brain cell would try to defend that, but you never know. And,
I'm the woman here, and I think that I should be consulted on some of these opinions that you have, Phil.
Well, now, what kind of an opinion?
Well, man, what do you think? Who's this guy that coaches the SC Trojans?
His name is Sarcastic.
What do you mean, Sarcastic?
I said, well, the name is Sarcastic.
No, it isn't. It's Sarcasian. Sarcassian. It is Armenian. As far as I know, it's Armenian. Much like the Kardakian. No.
No, don't sound like...
Don't say I sound like Bobby Dooley.
Well, you do, because Dooley's the one that butchers it up. And you're trying to tell me you don't.
All right. USC dominates Notre Dame. Well, no shit. The big story also from football, Missouri police condemn St. Louis Ram players' hands-up gesture. Now, in 1968, you probably have heard there was an Olympic protest that was staged by John Carlos and Tommy Smith. I should find out exactly. Both of them were track and field. They were both track stars. They were both members of the track team for the United States Olympic team. Both of these men, and I'm sure that this comparison has been made, both of these men, prior to receiving gold medals for their events, and it's a very, very famous picture. If you haven't seen it, we'll show it to you. Let's see if I can have view image. I guess this is as good as it's going to get, but here, what I'll do is do something like this. Oh, maybe. Yeah, there you go. Pull it in tight, man. In the paper today, do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? No? That doesn't work? Okay. In the paper today, I know what you can do is do this. Oh, shit, I can't. I wanted to, But you're very familiar. This is iconic, as they say. That, you know, now you know what the word iconic means. Iconic means an icon. It means something that it... I fucked that up, man. Iconic means something that's timeless. It means it stands as an example. It stands as a classic example of something that is of great import, a belief, a culture, you know, a society, a person. So that picture, as you can see, is a very iconic. Well, maybe what we ought to do is save that image. We will do that. Save it to my desktop. Yeah. No. Did I? I didn't save. God damn it. Okay. Well, now you gotta watch out there, man. Because I have, on that other screen, you can see that's our Audacity. We're recording the show. One of these days, I'll figure out exactly how to, do that. Now, what I mean by that is, one of these days I'm going to figure out how to do two things at once when it comes to that. Now, we have... a picture of the St. Louis Rams. And I think I just showed you. I don't know if I've got the film of it, the video of it, and I should, and it's probably everywhere. This is the Rams. They came out with the hands up. All right. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Americans making a statement within the bounds of the First Amendment. There are times, it's not illegal. Some people think that this was the wrong place and the wrong time. But, you know, I give you John Carlos and Tommy Smith. Was that the wrong place? Was that the wrong time? The country, I remember in 1968, was embarrassed as fuck by it. Oh, my God, how dare you do that? How could you do, as representatives of the American Olympic team, people today will still tell you. But it was that important. And if you agreed with what they were saying, that the that America had become a walking, a living, breathing hypocrisy, that America had become an apartheid state in its own way and was so hypocritical that it would send its black athletes to win all this glory on behalf of its of the flag and the country's name and still be treating African-American people with this kind of attitude was wrong. And they felt it was a, you know, something that they had to say. I mean, who the fuck? I agreed with it. I was a 16-year-old sophomore in high school. I agreed with it. Today, I agree with this. I agree with this. Because if we're still talking about the high incidence of police shootings involving black suspects, we're still talking about the high incidence of black people in jails and in prisons, whether or not we think it's justified, the fact is there's a reason this is happening, and it ain't got nothing to do with the fact that black people are inherently criminal any more than white people are inherently racist and criminal. Understand what I'm saying? Because if you want to believe that black people are inherently stupid and dumb and ignorant and criminally prone, white people are inherently vicious, violent, and racist. You cannot have one without the other. You can't. Because let's say we lived in a society where this was real, where one race was actually inferior to the other. What does it say about the superior race that it treats an inferior race with such violent disregard? With, you know, we, for instance, pour hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions and billions of dollars into the treatment of our goddamn motherfucking pets. Okay. So if, in fact, one race was inferior to the other, and we knew this, we wouldn't necessarily be incarcerating and shooting and killing and butchering up and kicking around as if we look at the behavior of civilized whites, and of course black people are the same, but we're just going in this fantasy world now for a moment of one race being inferior to the other. The white people of this country treat their dogs and their fucking cats like they're equal. They get violently upset when an animal is mistreated. They get crazy when... And so if you were even the most racist white is obviously not... I don't think he really honestly believes that a black man is inferior to him. But if he really did, he wouldn't treat that man poorly. He'd treat that man as well as he does a dog or a fucking cat. Because he considers himself superior. He considers himself civilized. He considers himself at the spear tip of man's evolution on this planet. You ask even the dumbest fucking redneck racist motherfucker that ever walked, some son of a bitch that can't even fucking read his own name, let alone read anything else, this cocksucker will start quoting all kinds of shit about how the white man is superior. You know, he'll go back, well, hell, you know, looking at this and look at all the shit we done, you know. And I'm not just talking about Southerners here, folks. I realize it's kind of a stereotype, but anyway, off of that crap, man. Fuck that. Okay, what else we got, man? Why Ferguson touched a raw national nerve. Now, this ought to be a really great article. This is on CNN. Do I really need to read this? I know why it touched a raw nerve. In the paper today, now, what do we want to do? Hey now, hey now. Okay, that's a little bit better. Do-do-do-do-do. All right, that's a better shot. This is, like I say, it's iconic. It's not anything you haven't seen before. This is the 1968 Olympics. John Carlos and Tommy Smith had talked about this and decided that this was going to be their statement. All right, now, 48 years later, as I said on Tweetster, you know, 48 years later, we have this. Now that fills the screen rather nicely. These are the players coming out. Hands up. Now the guy in the middle, 89, I don't know who that is, hopping up and down, it probably shouldn't have been hopping up. I don't know what he's, it looks like he's saying, yay. Nonetheless, what's the difference? What the fuck is the difference? John Carlos, Tommy Smith, this, 48 fucking years. We're still dealing with this shit, like I said. And this is not the imagination of fucking black people. We're not talking about them wanting more fucking color TVs or Cadillacs, okay? For all of the racist whites that hold on to that kind of iconography, let's say. These are cats that don't want to get fucking gunned fucking down if their pants are hanging too low or they're walking in the middle of the street. Now understand, this motherfucking cop that had been called to the place to, because there was a theft, this guy, he was pulling up asking these guys to get off the road. Anyway, I don't know. It's my opinion. You don't like it? Fucking lump it. What do you want me to say? You know, the country is doing what it's doing. So you have this. You have this. Let's see. You have this. You have this. 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 This, 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 this. What the fuck's the difference? What the fuck's the difference? You look at these two images and you ask yourself, if you're, you know, an open-minded person, what the fuck are these people? We're still dealing with black people asking to have a place at the table. These guys don't want to get fucking gunned down. You know, there's a great story about Miles Davis when he moved to Malibu, you know, and white people, like I said, I'm going to keep talking to white people about this, and it pisses whites off. Man, it fucking pisses you fuckers off, man. You would rather talk down to some black guy than have to have a conversation face to face with another white about this shit, because you got nowhere to hide. You need a fuck, racists need a fucking audience. They got to have an audience of a lot of other whites. They need to be talking down to blacks, but to have a one-on-one conversation with another fucking white about this shit, an intelligent conversation, is absolutely fucking impossible. They want to fight, which is fine with me. I could care. That's great if that's what you want to do. But it's got to be white to white, white person to white, but we got to talk about this shit. What, do you want to have a little fucking touchy-feely, Phil? Sure, that's right. You know, I look, if you don't have an open mind about it, then fuck you, and, you know, I hope you die soon, frankly. I mean, if that's what you, if you just don't want to improve this country or your mind about this shit, it's fine, you know. But you cannot have an open mind about this and be a racist. It's impossible. Because with an open mind, you start to learn about people and why things exist the way they do. And with that open mind and with that learning, you change. And the racist, by definition, almost cannot. It's impossible. It scares the shit out of him. But I would tell you that if you, you know, you don't believe that black people were programmed early on by God to be animals and monkeys, that they are human beings. Miles Davis, the great jazz trumpet player, moved to Malibu, I think. And Malibu, Beverly Hills. First thing he did was go down to the L.A. County Sheriff's substation and held up his driver's license, introduced himself. How do you do? How are you? My name's Miles Davis. I live here in Malibu. Yes, sir. This is my address. This is my face. This is who I am. This is my home is up here on 5555 Happy Lane. Here in the marvelous city of Happy Town, California. Yes, sir. And I'm telling you this so that when you see me driving through the neighborhood at night, because of the fact that I am a musician, I work late, a lot of recording sessions go late, that when you do see me, you'll know that I belong in the neighborhood and I'm on my way to my home. This is my car. You can see the car. Yes, right. White people never have to do that. Okay? So this is not a guy who wanted to go in there and say and make some statement. This is not a man that went to the newspaper and publicized this shit. This is a story that came out years and years and years later. I'll give you a better example. My girlfriend in Minneapolis, when I lived there, actually I had moved to Miami, but my girlfriend was an African-American. She worked for the local television radio station that I worked for. She was an engineer. She was driving that radio station and television station's van one day. And some dumb cunt cracker in Minneapolis, and they're everywhere. Minneapolis has a very high percentage of them, to be honest with you. Saw her in the radio station TV van and called the police, assuming it was stolen. Cops pulled her over. So what the fuck is the problem here? Well, they had a... Here's my driver's license. I'm an employee of this radio station. I'm driving the goddamn van. This was in the 90s, in the Twin Cities, in the open-minded Minnesota nice Twin Cities. But I'm not putting down Minneapolis, because that could have happened in any motherfucking city in this country. Anywhere. Any cop. And I don't put down cops. I love cops. I wish cops well. I want them to do well. I want them to be healthy and survive and protect our society and gain in prestige and respect. I want cops to be what they were at one time, which was the, man, I want to be a cop when I grow up. You know? But we got to train them better. We got to keep the education thing going, man. We've got to keep cops safe. But we also have to... Unfortunately, we have to hire guys that are going to operate better in this fucking kiln that we find ourselves in. By that, I mean a place that's hot, you know. All right, fuck it. Let's get the show on the road here. World famous Phil Henry Show. Always nice to be with you guys. Always a beautiful thing. Always a marvelous thing. Welcome here to tune in and to our Listen Live listeners. I'll turn it off the air conditioner, and I'm getting my shit together here. It's been a momentous weekend in sports. You know, I had a great time with the sports, the football and everything. We've got some news to report. We've just got Margaret is here. And
yes, hello, everyone. I'm just settling down. I got myself a cup of coffee. And I'm saying, good morning, bud.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Gray.
And you guys did a really good job. Okay, let's just get this show going, and I'll talk about it later here. Why is that in show, man? I don't need that, do I? No. All right, sports fans. Tell you what. start out here with paperwork. It's TI, World Famous Phil Henry Show.